Our Father in heaven, we find hope and comfort in the words of Jesus said to us, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I pray we'd find rest in Jesus today from our sins, from our anxieties, from our fears, from our doubts, from all that is in us, our weakness and our struggles. Thank you that Christ can meet our needs. And I pray that today we would find Christ as all-sufficient, that we would find him as beautiful and glorious, that we would long to know him more in his power and even to know him in his weakness and suffering of the cross. Pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would speak to us so that we can know you more and so that we can become everything you want us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 80. So I encourage you to turn there, Luke 1, 46 through 80. And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed, forever." And Mary abode with her, that's Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her own house. And now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was open, and immediately his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So over the last 2 weeks, we have looked at Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah, the old priest who doubted the words of God, and Mary, the young lady who trusted the promises of God. And Luke begins his book with these stories to show us that the only correct response to the book of Luke is to trust the promises of God in these pages. So as you hear the messages on Luke, as you read God's word, hold on to the words of Jesus and do not doubt them. That should be our response. So the question from last week is, how do you respond to Jesus? So how do you respond to Jesus? The question today is, what kind of people does God use? What kind of people does God use? The answer to that is God uses the humble. And we will find this theme over and over again in Luke. God saving and using the weak, the poor, and the humble. Our text today has two songs. Okay, we have Mary's song, and then we have Zechariah's song. They're not called songs, but I imagine it's like a musical or opera where the story is going along and all of a sudden one of the characters just burst out in the song because of their joy. And this is really what's happening. Both Mary and Zechariah are just full of joy because of what God has done for them. And then in the middle of these two songs we have the birth of John the Baptist. And those are going to be our three sections today of the message. The two songs and then the account of John the Baptist's birth. So first, let's look at Mary's song in verses 46 to 56. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, as you read through Mary's song, it smells strongly of the Old Testament. You know, when you cook bacon at home and you like walk in the door like 10 hours later and the whole house still smells like bacon. This is kind of like reading Mary's song. It just smells so strongly of the Old Testament. And Mary's song is like a psalm. If you're familiar with the book of Psalms, this is just like a psalm from the book of Psalms. Actually, it's very similar to Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2. You can jot that down. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and you can read that when you go home. And it's very similar. So in 1 Samuel, Hannah was not able to have children, but God answers her prayer and she is able to have children. And God gives her Samuel, the prophet Samuel. And then she prays this awesome prayer that's very similar to Mary's song in our text. Hannah says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn, my strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor." Sounds very similar to Mary's song here in Luke chapter 1. In this song, we find the theme of God lifting up the humble and dashing the proud to the ground. Lifting up the humble and dashing the proud to the ground. So notice first that God empties the humble. Look at verse 51 with me. So God has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats, from their thrones, and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. So those who are proud are those who feast on life. Notice verse 53. The hungry, those are the humble, and the rich, they're just full. God can't give them anything because they're full of things and themselves. The proud here in Mary's song are those who go through life trying to get more for themselves. Trying to get more for yourselves. Now, let's think, we just passed through the holidays, and how often the holidays are celebrated in our nation. We gorge ourselves on turkey and stuffing and pie, and then we fill up our shopping cart on Black Friday, and then we stack all the presents under the tree, and then January comes and we have to go on a diet and we have to try to find a place to put all of our new presents. That is filling yourself. And God doesn't want people who are full of themselves. The proud, they promote themselves. Verse 51, they have the imagination of their hearts. That means they're scheming. They're thinking about their plans for their life, how they can get ahead, how they can squash the poor under them. They use others for their own pleasure and enrichment. Dear friends, if you are filling yourself on life, and if you're filling yourself with good things, God has nothing for you. He sends the rich away empty. I think that's bad news. If you're just full of yourself and the things that the world can buy, God says, I can't do anything for you. If you're using your position in life, in the church, or the home, or in the workplace to promote yourself and to lift yourself up, God's like, I'm going to bring you down. That's what God does. And it was cool how Isaiah chapter 2, the scripture reading fit into that. God's plan is to chop down those who exalt themselves. So man, don't exalt yourself. Bow before the Lord and humble yourself. But the good news, dear friends, is that God fills the humble. So if you're empty and you're in need of help and rescue, there's hope for you. Because God fills the humble. Verse 48, God regards the low, the humble estate of his servant. He exalts the humble and he fills the hungry with good things. So if you're longing after God and his salvation, what God can do, God is going to fill you till you're overflowing. So if you're tired of the riches of this world, tired of what this world is offering you, if you're tired of just trying to get ahead in life for your own pleasure, say, I don't want any of that. I want God. God will fill you. That's a pretty significant promise, because God has everything, all the power in the world. He says, I'm going to fill the person who's needy. Notice carefully, again, this is a theme through Luke, and we're going to see it again and again as we walk through this book. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. But then later he says, woe, danger, watch out, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Dear friends, we need to be careful of pride in our lives and our hearts, because God's going to take us down. Notice, what do the proud do in our text, in Mary's song? What do the humble do? Well, the proud, they plan, they scheme, they gorge themselves on life. The humble, the humble don't really do anything. They just ask for help, help me, God. And they rejoice that God has filled them. They need help and God comes to the rescue. So here's a question for you. Is your mindset in life one of getting things for yourself? Or is it rejoicing what God has done for you, what God has given you? So two different mindsets. And those are the mindsets that Mary is singing about. And God blessed Mary, the humbled, the one in need of help, and filled her. So there's hope for the humble, hope for the desolate. But there's also hope for doubters. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, we've been really hard on Zechariah, the old priest, in our chapter. He is the priest who should know better, but he doubts God's words to him. But I love Luke chapter 1 because there's hope for Zechariah. So God promised Zechariah that him and his wife are going to have a son, even though they're way older than childbearing years. And God delivered on his promise, and John was born, as we read in our text. And all the neighbors are excited for the birth of this child. And as there was their custom, they would name this child on the eighth day when he was circumcised. Now remember, Zechariah can't talk, because when he doubted God's word, the angel said, "You're going to not be able to talk until I fulfill my words." And so Zechariah hasn't been able to talk for like 10 months until his child is born. So again, that's why he asked for a writing tablet to write out his name as John. So Elizabeth wants to call the baby John, but John is not a family name. So they ask Zechariah, and he writes, "His name is John." Then, after being mute for about 10 months, a year, he spoke. And all the people are like, "What is happening here?" The people are full of fear and joy and wonder. It's like, what is God going to do? As we look at God's work in Zechariah's life, we learn two things. And the first is that God disciplines those who doubt his word. That's what happened to Zechariah. Because Zechariah did not trust God's word, he was unable to talk until God fulfilled his word to Zechariah and Elizabeth. During those months, he learned to trust what God had said to him. And he responds in trust when he wrote what the angel had told him. His name is John. The best thing for you is to trust God. That's the absolutely best thing for you to do, to trust God. So God will discipline us until we trust him, and so that we trust him more. And don't think this is vindictive in God's anger against us. This is all love, because God only disciplines those he loves. So dear friends, if you're going through something hard right now, don't lose heart. Because learn to trust God in trials. Don't grow weary and bitter. It is a sign of God's love. He loves you. Don't grow weary, because God disciplines us so we trust him more. But Zechariah learned through his trial. So there's hope for you. There's hope for me. We can learn to trust God through trials. And then secondly, God cheers those who trust his word. This doubting priest becomes a joyful father. He is singing and praising God. He blesses God. He praises God. The Holy Spirit fills him, and he gives a word of praise about what God has begun. And I love that turn, that Zechariah becomes the doubting old priest to a man who is joyful in the Lord. I have been closing the service with one verse the last few weeks. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So, what I want to do, just briefly, I want to connect for us in Luke 1, in the Scriptures, belief, trust, joy, and humility. So, trust, joy, and humility. How do these things go together? And how do we see them in Luke chapter 1? Zechariah doubts, is disciplined, but then he trusts and he rejoices. Mary trusts the word of God as a humble person, and she rejoices in the Lord. So how do we connect these things? Joy comes from belief in God's promises. Joy comes from belief in God's promises. What about humility and pride? proud hearts trust themselves. So if you're trusting yourself to get through life, you're full of pride. Humble hearts trust God. Humble hearts trust God. Now, pride is not the same thing as unbelief, but proud people do not trust God. The humble, they know they need help, so they trust God. So how does this help us? A lack of joy in our lives exposes our unbelief. If you don't have joy, you don't necessarily need some kind of therapy to make you happy. You need to trust what God has spoken. A lack of joy exposes our unbelief and our pride. So, are you happy in God? How are you happy in what God has done for you? Humble people trust the promises of God and rejoice in what He's going to do. Proud people trust themselves and have no joy in the Lord. So that's how, again, Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I think that's a good way to sum up Luke chapter 1. Could I make a pointed application? I'm allowed to do that for you older folks. We did an application for the young folks. Mary was a teenager, and she trusted the promises of God. I don't care what age you are, you can trust God and His promises. What about you older folks, your baby boomers and up? Now, I have seen people age gracefully. As they age, they're sweeter because they're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And others, it seems, they get sour with age, not sweet. It seems like there's less love and joy and peace. I don't know. Growing old is hard, I've heard. And people keep on telling me not to get old, okay? Because it's hard. But perhaps I could suggest that the trials of growing older expose what is really going on in your heart, like any trials do. If you getting grumpy, angry, lack of joy as you grow older, perhaps is exposing the pride and unbelief in your heart. You may go through life with a general grumpiness and a lack of hope in the Lord. If you feel like you're getting grumpy with age, there's hope for you. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to it. God took a doubting old priest and turned him into a joyful father and prophet. Please don't finish off your life grumpy, doubting, and hopeless. Finish with belief in God's promises. Finish with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Finish with humility and finish with hope. God can do that in your life. God can do that. Trust Him. Ask Him to do that, to finish with joy and hope. Thirdly, then, there's hope for the dreary, those living in darkness. The third part of our text is Zechariah's prophecy. And like Mary's song, it smells strongly of the Old Testament. Now again, Zechariah is excited that his son John has been born, and John is the prophet who will proclaim that the Messiah is coming. So John's not the Messiah, the Savior. Jesus is, but John the Baptist is preparing the way for the real Savior. And it's interesting that in this prophecy of Zechariah, he says very little about his son John. Okay, he only says two verses. Verses 76 and 77 are about John the Baptist, but the rest of the song is about the Messiah who's coming, okay? Which is pretty interesting. So Zechariah is not necessarily rejoicing in John, he's rejoicing in God and his son Jesus Christ, our Savior. Zechariah rejoices that God has sent salvation in Jesus, just as he promised from the Old Testament. And that's really summing up what Zechariah is prophesying about. God has sent salvation in Jesus just as He promised. And I want to focus on verses 77 to 79. Verses 77 to 79. I'll read them again. So, the Lord will give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. God has mercy on sinners. God has mercy on sinners. That is what salvation is. When we talk about salvation, we must ask, what is God saving us from? You always save someone from something. And the answer is, in verse 77, salvation is in the remission or the forgiveness or the removal of sins. Salvation is God having mercy on sinners and rescuing them from their sins. In verse 78, it says that the day spring from on high visits. What does that mean? Now, this word could be translated like a shoot or a sprout coming up from the ground. It could also be translated like a morning star. I think the day spring is talking about. And this word was used to talk about the Messiah who was to come. Okay? So the day spring or the morning star or the sprout, whatever you want to, however you translate it, is talking about Jesus the Messiah as promised in the Old Testament. And he is coming. And this day spring, this Messiah, brings light to those in darkness. And so I want to settle a moment for this on this idea of light and darkness. What do you think of when you think of someone living in darkness? Maybe you imagine someone sitting in their living room alone. The shades are drawn. It's dark. They're sad. They're crying. There's no light in the room, and there's no light in their hearts. Maybe you've experienced that before. This depression. I think often today, when we think about light and darkness, we think of, in dark times, it's talking about depression. And you just want someone to turn the lights on inside of you. Now, we don't want to turn Jesus into a heavenly therapist who just helps those who are having a hard time. But Jesus does turn darkness into light. But Jesus coming as a light into darkness is much more than helping us through hard times, okay? The darkness in the Bible is sin. And what sin brings, death. The worst darkness inside of us is sin, our rebellion against our Creator God. Jesus came to have mercy on sinners, to bring light into the darkness of sin, to save us from our rebellion against God, to bring us back to His Father. Now, the thing with the darkness of sin inside of us is that it brings all sorts of other darkness, like depression, like suffering, and all sorts of other sicknesses. One day, all this darkness will be gone. There will be not an ounce of darkness left in this universe. Because Jesus took care of the deepest darkness, that our sin, all other darkness will one day be gone. But until then we wait. So Jesus has just begun shining his light into this dark world. And one day, Jesus will be so bright, we won't even need the sun, because Jesus will be glorious and bright, and it will be perfect. But we wait until then. Dear friends, do you need Jesus to remove that darkness of sin in your heart? Trust him. Trust him. He will shine his light into your dark heart and bring salvation and have mercy on you. Trust him. But also, we see that God acts to bring salvation. Did you notice in Zechariah's song how much we do? I think this is pretty awesome. Notice what we do. First, let's say what God does. God has visited his people. God has redeemed his people. God has raised up salvation. God has spoke by the mouth of his prophets. God will save us from our enemies. God shows the mercy he has promised. God remembered his promises. God gives salvation and tender mercy and brings light to those in darkness and guides us in the way of peace.
Wow.
God does it all. Salvation belongs to God. God does it. What do we do? Did you notice in verse 74? We serve him without fear all our days. That's what's left to us. Because God has done it all. We are now free to serve him without fear all of our days. So in conclusion, how do you respond to what God has done? How do you respond to what God has done? And the call has been, in the last couple weeks, trust the promises of God. Trust the promises of God, dear friends. Humble yourself before the Savior. God loves to help those kind of people that trust him and who humble themselves before him. But I want to touch on one other response as we close. Did you notice that Zechariah and Mary are rejoicing in something begun, but nowhere close to complete? So they're rejoicing in something that has begun, but is nowhere close to complete. So Mary is praising God for our salvation that Jesus would bring, and Jesus wasn't even born. I mean, it was been over 30 years until he died on the cross for our sins. And Zechariah is praising God that his son John would prepare the way for the Lord. Zechariah was probably dead when John began his ministry at age 30. The Bible doesn't say, but we can assume he's an old man. 30 years later, his son begins his ministry, and he's in the ground. So in our passage, there's not only trust and joy and humility, but there's hope. Holding this little child and saying, you will prepare the way of the Lord. Are you serious? This little infant? 30 years later after you're dead? Yeah, we call that hope. Maybe you think, now, if I was living in the Bible times, it would be so much easier to believe. Because they had angels, they had prophets, they had miracles. Jesus walked to the earth. Man, I would believe so good if I was back then. Dear friends, no. Actually, belief is supposed to be easier after the cross. But belief is still hard. We know how salvation came at the cross. We know how it's going to end. We know more than Mary and Zechariah did. But we are in a similar situation to them. Our salvation is begun, but nowhere yet complete. God has accomplished it, but we're not there yet. We're not in heaven. There's not a new heavens and a new earth yet. We're not there yet. Our salvation is begun, but not yet completed. And we live in hope until Jesus finishes what he started. And we do what Mary and Zechariah did. We trust the promises of God. We rejoice that his salvation will come. Christ is coming back, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And we wait. We wait in hope until he comes. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for these words that you have given us. Help us to trust them. Help us to have joy and peace as we trust your promises. Give us the humility we need to even acknowledge that we need help. So bring us down. Give us humility and grace and joy and peace and meet all of our needs. Fill us. Fill us with yourself and with your good gifts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.